Before we begin our Torah study tonight, let's pray together. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshanu b'mitzvata v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Last week we were talking about a theme, big talk but little faith. And we were looking at occasions where we overpromise and then we don't fulfill what we set out to do. And I think that there is a simple solution for us. It's described a bit in the Torah reading this week, so I want to ask you to turn to Exodus 25. We'll look at just a few verses. Verses 1 through 9. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering, a terumah offering." Terumah means lifting off of the top. It's a way of saying the cream, the very best, the best portion, not the last portion. "That they would bring me a terumah offering from everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering." So there's a key here. Everyone who gives willingly with his heart. And later when the offering's taken up, we're told that those whose hearts were stirred and who were stirred in their spirit were the ones who actually gave. So we see something that God is wanting to work with people whose hearts are stirred. So he'll stir us. And when he stirs us, when he puts something in our hearts, he wants us to actually do it. So the interesting thing is all these people who were stirred actually gave what they were stirred to give. It says in verse 8, "Let them make for me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." So it was the purpose of God to have fellowship with his people, to have a place to dwell. Now God has two houses at least. He's got the house that was made with human hands, which this is describing, and he has another house that no one could ever make, which is a heavenly tabernacle that the earthly tabernacle was just a copy, was copying from. But there's actually a third kind of house, and that is the house that God makes when he lives inside of us. When he takes up residence in us by his Holy Spirit, and he lives in us, we become little sanctuaries, little holy places where he can live and where he can be God from. So he works from the inside out. He wants to dwell with us. So he wanted to dwell with Israel at the tabernacle. He wanted to dwell with Israel at the temple. He wants to dwell by the Holy Spirit with all of us. And he wants us to live with him forever. So there's one thing that's absolutely clear. God wants to be with you forever. And so he wants you to be with him. He wants to build his house the same way he builds in eternity with those who are willing. So you and I have to be willing. Now here's the key. Willingness is only the first step. The second step is doing it, right? I remember being at a conference once and a funny guy said, they were taking up an offering, and he said, "I want you to reach into the pocket of the person sitting next to you and give what you always dreamed of giving." We can only give what has been entrusted to us. We can only give from our own resources. If we were to give someone else's stuff, it wouldn't be right. The key is to have that heart that is stirred, that wants to give. And I'm not talking about money right now. I'm talking about giving ourselves to the Lord. When we're wholehearted and we say, "I want to serve you, Lord." When we're wholehearted and we say, "Lord, I want to be with you." Then we also will discover that he'll give us assignments to do. He'll ask for things from us. He'll test us in different matters. And he will lead us so that we can become strong disciples and servants of the Lord. The key for us is that we would keep saying yes to him, and then we would do what he says. So I want you to turn now to another passage. This is in Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 through 37. Yeshua says, "You've heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord.' But I say to you, don't swear at all. Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your own head, because you cannot make one hair white or black." Little comment, this was before hair dye for guys. Verse 37, let your yes be yes. Say that with me. Let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever's more than these is from the evil one. Yeshua has a profoundly simple but important message here. Let your yes be a yes. Don't let it be mixed up. Let your no be no. Be really clear. Don't be passive aggressive, which means you say yes, but you mean no. And don't be actively defiant and aggressive, where you need to say yes to the Lord, but you say no to him. Let your yes be strong. Now, in order to come to the Lord, there's a pledge of our full being to him. We're saying, Lord, I want to serve you with all that I am. How much of your heart does God want? All of it. How much of your mind does he want? All of it. How much of your soul? How much of your body? All of it. He doesn't want just a little bit. He wants all of it. So that's the deal. He wants all of it. How much does he want you to show love to other people? He wants you to show it strongly. He wants you to love your neighbor as yourself. He wants you to love him with all that you've got and all that you are. He wants you to love your neighbor. He's looking for that, and he's looking for people who will say yes to that, even though we will fall short in doing it. And isn't it true we fall short? I mean, look at the person next to you. Don't you know they fall short? And don't they know you fall short? We all fall short. That's the fact. The reason we need forgiveness is because we fall short. When we think about the Sinai covenant and the great commands for holiness that God gives us, one of the things that we realize is we fall short. Everyone falls short. The high priest falls short. That's why he has to offer sacrifices for himself. The Levites fall short. The leaders fall short. The priests of every kind fall short. The servants fall short. The elders fall short. The servants of the Lord fall short. We all fall short. We all fail to be perfectly righteous because we cannot be. And in that Sinai covenant, we discover that we are not capable of attaining the righteousness that God holds out for us. That awareness helps us understand we need a better sacrifice. And this is where Yeshua comes in. This is why we need to know that we need forgiveness. We need to know that we need atonement. And we need to disabuse ourselves of the idea that we can just be better and then good enough. When we think we can be good enough to earn God's love, then we've rejected favor and mercy and familial love. Let me ask you a question. How many of you had parents? All of you, right? And how many of you had grandparents? All of you. every one of us was born into family. And somebody loved on you when you were born. Someone took care of you. Someone fed you. Someone helped you when you couldn't help yourself. Now, maybe they weren't perfect. Surely they weren't perfect. But they showed mercy and care and love to you. And did you earn that love? Did you deserve it? Did you do something that was so good that that mother and father of yours said, oh, this is a child who truly deserves love? Think about little babies. What do? I mean, they're cute. We love them, right? But not because of what they do. Because there's a time where what they do is kind of messy and inconvenient. When you have your first child, you discover that the gift of life comes at the cost of sleep and convenience and so forth. When you have kids in college, you find out the gift of family comes at a price. There are many prices that we pay. What you discover is that love overflows from mothers and fathers to little children. Not because the children do something to deserve the love, but because the parents were made with overflowing love. That's how God created us, to have more love than can be contained within us. It needs to be expressed outwardly to other people. To be made into God's image is a complex thing, but one of the things that it means is that we've got this overflowing love that must express itself to other people. We show that love to the little ones because we love, because we were loved, and because we know that love is the blessing that God wants us to show to these little ones. But do they truly deserve it? Let's say they're crying for 18 hours. Do they deserve your smile? Have they earned your smile? No, but when you try to muster up a good attitude, it's because you love. You show that kind of love not because they earn it, but because you have love that shows favor to them. And this is the kind of love that comes from the Lord to us. He pours out his love to us even though we don't deserve it. That's the deal. Now, what does he want? He wants us to love him back, and he wants us to be sincere. But the moment you say, I deserve it because of my obedience or my goodness, that's the moment where you cross the line, and you'll discover not long after that that you will fail in something. You'll fall short in something. The danger for us is, even though we're sincere in believing God loves us, we may think we have to keep proving it to him. The danger of that is that we may think we have proved it to him. And we start trusting in ourselves. That's the danger. And then we can think that we've earned merit. We've earned his love, and it's no longer a gift of his love to us. Favor comes to us. So God is saying he wants to build a house with offerings from people who freely give, not out of compulsion, but out of desire. He shows us what it's like. He freely gives of himself as an example so that you and I can learn to freely give to him and to other people. In the same way, Yeshua says, let your yes be yes. In other words, if you're going to be free in your gift of service to the Lord and your love, let it be a simple yes. Be really clear. Don't overpromise. Now, we looked at examples last week of people who talked big, but their faith was actually small. people who said yes, but they actually didn't do what they said. There was one passage we didn't look at. It was in the Haftorah. It's Jeremiah 34. And I would like you to turn there, Jeremiah 34, verses 8 through 11. The word came to Jeremiah from the king from the Lord, after King Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people in Jerusalem to proclaim freedom for the slaves. So King Zedekiah had entered into a covenant with all the residents of Jerusalem that they would free their slaves. Verse 9, everyone who was to free their Hebrew slaves, both male and female, no one was to hold a fellow Hebrew in bondage. So this was going to be a profound act of liberation for the people who had been enslaved. Verse 10, so all the officials and people who entered into this covenant agreed that they would free their male and female slaves and no longer hold them in bondage. They agreed and set them free. Sounds good, right? Until you get to verse 11. But afterwards, they changed their minds. And they took back the slaves that they had freed and enslaved them again. When Yeshua says, let your yes be yes, let your no be no, because anything more than that comes from the evil one, it certainly applies to this situation. What if they had just let their yes be yes and they'd gotten on with life with these newly freed brothers and sisters? It would have gone well for everyone. But afterwards, they changed their mind. So they started with yes, and then they changed their mind. It became a no. If you're going to change your mind, Yeshua's parable about the two sons tells you which way to do it. Start with the no and change it to yes. Don't start with the yes and then change it to no. In other words, if you're going to be a mind changer, be one who thinks about it and then makes the better decision. So here's one more example of people who talked big, but they actually had little faith and little faithfulness. I want to give you another example. This was in the news this week. It was reported by a Tablet magazine, an online Jewish magazine. It says, Shomer Shabbos drug dealer gets 5 years in prison. Edward Soren arrested last year in sting operation called, quote, only after sundown. So here's the story. This guy was an Orthodox Shabbat-keeping drug dealer. It's as if he thought that the scripture said, for 6 days ye shall deal, and on the seventh day you shall rest. And that was actually his pattern. Yeah, listen. So the Shabbat observant drug dealer busted early last year has been sentenced to 5 years in prison plus an additional 5 years under supervision, Gothamist reports. Edward Soren was arrested as part of a drug ring that reportedly sold large quantities of heroin, OxyContin, Xanax, and Suboxone out of a basement in Sheepshead Bay, New York. The group's unorthodox business hours, that's a joke, were revealed in text messages released by the police. And then they quote some of the text messages. And their message that they're quoting, I can't read you the whole thing, says, this is on Friday, open now till 7:30. We're closing 7:30 on the dot, and we will reopen Saturday at 8:15. And so if you need anything, you have 45 minutes to get what you want. The cops called this only after sundown. That was the operation. Operation only after sundown. They also found sawed-off shotgun ammunition, a drug ledger, and a BlackBerry filled with incriminating texts. Okay, so here are Orthodox Jews who are keeping Shabbat in a technical way, you would say, and pretty fastidious in the details. Wouldn't you agree? We've got to stop all of our work by 7:30. we're going to go until 8:15 the next night before we pick up work again. But ask yourself a question. What was the condition of their faithfulness? You see, they were faithful in certain details that they thought made them okay. But in fact, they got, I dare say, I don't want to judge these guys too harshly because I don't know them and because it's so easy to pick on them, isn't it? And whenever we find people who are easy to pick on, we should be careful because we're just like them. Different sins. I hope you're not dealing drugs. And I hope that you're not hiding behind Shabbat as the one time when you sort of do things okay and the rest of the time you're a criminal. Don't live like that. But can you imagine taking confidence in your relationship with God because you're keeping Shabbat? And you think, you know what, I'm a good Jew, I keep Shabbat like this, I'm an Orthodox Jew, I'm not some, you know, secular person, I keep God's commandments. And all the time selling drugs to people, except on Shabbat. Now, doesn't that sound crazy? Does it? Does it sound crazy to you? Now, here's the problem with it. We're all vulnerable to the same way of thinking, even though we're not all drug dealers. And we're not all inclined to sin in this way or that way. But every one of us has the capacity to overpromise God and to elevate little details and make them the things that give us our security before God. Well, I'm Shomer Shabbos. I keep Shabbat. I'm right with God. I want to try to create a picture for you. I need two volunteers if I can. Two volunteers. It won't be difficult. No one will be embarrassed. Okay, here's one. Nope, it's going in the wrong direction. Okay, that didn't work. Okay, Dee, can you come here? And I want you to stand just right here. And then I need another volunteer who will stand at the end of this aisle. Okay. Okay, that's good. Okay, so when you get there, y'all can smile at each other.
As long as we don't have to sin too much.
You won't have to sin too much. Okay, now one of you has to volunteer to be the representative of the sinner.
The representative.
I mean, you're a sinner. Okay. And one of you will be representative of a person who's repenting from their sins. Okay. Who wants to be the one who's moving towards God? Okay. Okay. D. Antonio, sorry, pal. Okay. Now here's the thing. I didn't tell you this one part. Okay. This person who's moving towards God has been really rotten. And this person who's moving away from God has been pretty good. Okay? And so, now what I want you to do is I want you to go in that direction. I want you to go in this direction. Take five steps forward. Now take another five, each of you. And then just sort of get near each other, passing each other and stop. Okay, now here's the deal. If you look at these people where they are, they seem to be in the same place. In reality, they're going in completely different directions. One of them is coming from a lot of trouble in their life, but they're moving in God's direction. But if you looked at them when they were right here, they were a big mess. It's easy to judge people when they're in that condition if you don't pay attention to where they're headed. Now, the other one wasn't so messy, hadn't done so much stuff. The problem with them is they're moving away from God. So they look good at the beginning, and there's a moment when it looks like they're in the same place. But that's only because we don't see where they're headed. Take 10 more steps. and you see what happens. If you keep your eyes on such people long enough, you realize the one who looked good but who was going away from God ends up pretty far away. And the one who had a big mess but is moving towards God moves out of the mess and ends up closer to the Lord. Do you see that? That's a picture for me. Thank you, too. Thank you, too, for this. Okay, now we've got the Orthodox drug dealer, and he's keeping Shabbat. He looks good, right? Until you see what else he's doing. And you realize that in one person, the battle can be waged. It doesn't take two people. One person can look like they're walking with God, but in reality, they're defiant of God and unfaithful. We all have that capacity. And so it's really important that we pay attention to ourselves and our own condition, and that we don't try to prove to other people that we're righteous by our outward behavior. So, you know what that does not mean? It doesn't mean outward behavior has no value. Of course it has value. You shall not murder. Do you think that's just internal? You know, like, just don't murder in your heart. But it's okay to murder with a gun. No, outward behavior counts too. When Yeshua talks about the commandments, usually he makes them harder, not easier, because he deals not just with the external, but also with the internal that can lead to the external behavior. But it's still true that our behavior is important, isn't it? But our behavior is not enough to save us. That's what I'm trying to say. It's our trust in God, who is faithful, that provides the connection for salvation. It's not because we're good enough. Because if you measure yourself and say, am I good enough yet? Here's the answer. No, not yet. The temptation is I'm going to try to make other people believe I'm good enough. I'm going to try to make myself believe I'm good enough. But you can't be good enough. As long as you're measuring yourself in comparison to a perfect, holy God, you can never be good enough. So this is why it's always favor, it's always grace, it's always mercy that's involved in God's love for us, because we're never quite good enough. Now, having said that, does that give us license to be as bad as we want to be? No. Because the question is, where are you headed towards? Are you headed towards the Lord? If you are, you're a repentant person. If you're headed away from the Lord, you're not a repentant person, and you will get in trouble by going away from the Lord. But what if you're religious and you look good, but you're walking away from the Lord? That's why I picked this story about the Orthodox drug dealer, because it's just one more story. There are dozens of stories in the scriptures of people who say yes, but then they do no. This is why Yeshua makes it so perfectly clear, let your yes be yes and let your no be no. Be really simple. Now, I've got enough notes for about 3 years worth of messages. So I'm going to take 3 years to cover some of these details. We're not going to go over them all tonight by any means. But I want you to get something in your heart. It's not talking big that is big faith. It's being faithful that's big faith. It's not saying we're faithful, it's being faithful. Now, God wants all of us. He wants all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength. He doesn't want you to try to negotiate a deal where you say, okay, how about half down? And I'll pay the rest later. He's asking for all of it, knowing you and I will fall short anyway. But he's still asking for that. But what he really wants from you is the recognition that you need him for every part of your being. It's not, oh, I can do this. I will do it. It's, I need him in every aspect of my being. I need him in my soul. My soul needs him. My spirit needs him. My body needs him. My will needs him. My personality. Every aspect of who I am needs him. And I want to encourage you, be honest with yourself and honest with God in these matters and just say, Lord, I need your help. I need you, Lord. Don't be afraid to be honest with him. And don't think you can fool him with religious behavior. You can't. This Orthodox drug dealer couldn't even fool the police. And now, you know, his reputation is clear. You can only fool yourself. You can't fool God in these matters. The good news is he doesn't want you to fool him. He doesn't want you to pretend. And he doesn't want you to try to think that you can keep the Sinai covenant when he's trying to offer you the new covenant. He gave the Sinai covenant for a reason, and he renewed it for a reason. And so he doesn't want you to try to prove to him that you can do it. You can keep it. You can't. You can't. If you can keep it, you don't need Yeshua. But if you can keep it, you better be trusting in the blood of goats and bulls and sheep, because that's part of the covenant. And you better be trusting that you're going to do it perfectly, because part of the covenant is if you fail in one matter, it's as if you failed in all. And so I would say to you, don't even try. That's my recommendation. Well, I'm going to stop here tonight. It's a good stopping point. I want to pray for you that you won't be a big talker, but you'll be someone with big faith. And you won't be the kind of person who says, we'll set our captives free, and then you change your mind and take them all back. I would like you to be the kind of people who are simple, as Yeshua said, who say yes, and then you do it. If you say no, let it be. But don't be double-minded, and don't keep changing your mind in the wrong way. Let's pray. Lord, we want to serve you with all of our heart, soul, and strength. We want to be faithful to you. And we know, Lord, that we need your mercy. We need your forgiveness every hour and every day. And I pray, Lord, that we would be able to depend on you and not to think that we could earn a position with you. You love us because you are love. You love us even though we have been undeserving of love. You love us even though we have been enemies of God. But you are great, and you allow our hearts to be broken so that we can come to you and be made whole. Thank you for that love of yours. It sustains us and renews us. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please stand? I encourage you, don't be by yourself. If you are, you can move. If you don't feel like moving, move anyway. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai p'navelecha v'yichunecha yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.